Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you get 15% off your next order. Welcome back from the weekend, Matt. Glad that you're safe on your travels home. It is a big week this week, man. We are at a weird time. Like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like March, but we're watching March Madness go on, and yet the NBA trade deadline is going on at the same time this week. It's craziness, but the Bulls are involved in a ton of rumors, man. So I'm excited for this week, and hopefully we get something to happen. But first and foremost, before we get into all the stuff today, how are you?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Glad to be back home. Had some fun in the mountains, and then a really fun couple of days in Vegas, kicking off March Madness. I'm sitting here watching Oklahoma Zaga right now. It's awesome to have March Madness back, man. I didn't realize how much I missed the tourney, being canceled entirely because of COVID last year. Really fun. We've had some awesome upsets already. And yeah, but simultaneously, we're just a couple days removed from the NBA trade deadline, and the Bulls are kind of a team whose name and some players on the Bulls are cropping up in a lot of different places right now. So like always, we have no idea what AK's got up his sleeve, but I'm excited to find out.
We'll touch on all of those rumors in a little bit. Want to talk quickly, though, in this first segment, a little bit about the games that were actually being played and what kind of we expect this week. This is all I'm going to say about the Denver game. I don't want to speak of that game ever again. Like, Jamal Murray hits the game winner in the corner to send it to overtime. I don't ever want to talk about anything beyond that. Is Jamal Murray hit the shot. That's it. Let's move on, because that was just the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Probably the worst out of any of the blown fourth quarter leads. That was probably the most difficult one for me to swallow. But I'm okay to move on to the Detroit Pistons win if you are.
For sure, man. I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't even watch that Bulls Nuggets game live. I mean, I caught a good amount of it the day after. And, And Bulls have blown some very winnable games against quality opponents, and it happened to him again.
I couldn't blame Thaddeus Young. Like, that was the biggest thing with that one, with the last play, is like Thaddeus left Jamal Murray wide open in the corner. I can't blame him for that play, though. It wasn't one single play that surmounted the Bulls ending up blowing that big fourth quarter lead. So it's just one of those cases, man. It's the same thing over and over we talk about. So it was good to see them pick up a win against a kind of crappy Pistons team, a team with a bunch of
you
guys
don't have to
that
put the
nobody
word
knows.
Kinda in front of crappy, they are just crappy, flat out.
Well, Jeremy Grant is pretty damn good, man. So I was glad. I'm glad that he's balling out, man. He's one dude that absolutely was worth every single dollar that they paid him this offseason. But I guess you can do that when you're chucking up 24 or 25 shots a game.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Jeremy Grant for having a hell of a year. He's probably one of the front runners for most improved player. And it's great that he's getting an opportunity to shine as the best player on a team as opposed to a supporting role back in Denver. But I mean, that Pistons team's crap, man. So, you know, I was not after taking a couple nights off and not really paying too close of attention to the Spurs and Nuggets games, coming back and, you know, being fully immersed in the Bulls for the first time in almost a week, watching that win over the Pistons, nothing impressed me. Nothing inspired me. This is more of the same. The Bulls are perfectly capable of beating bad teams, but we still haven't watched them figure out how to beat good ones. So same old, same old.
It is. And then it gets kind of scary towards the end of games too. It's like the Bulls just hold on to a lead big enough where you don't have to completely panic, but it's like even a 15-point lead, man, we can't even say is a safe lead with 5 minutes left to go anymore. Cause we've seen the Bulls blow that. We've seen them blow a 20-point lead. It's, I'm with you. I'm with you 100% that this Pistons team is weird because they're scrappy and they play up to their competition level. We've seen them knock off the Nets this season. We've seen them knock off Denver this season. So the Bucks this season as well. They've had the Bucks number. I think they've beaten them twice this year out of their 12 wins. So they're scrappy and they play up to their competition. That's why I was just glad that the Bulls didn't get caught in a weird situation where they coming off a bad loss and then take another one. Coming into this week, which is an important week for a lot of guys. A lot of guys' statuses are kind of unknown. But we got the Jazz real quick tonight. Any expectations for this Jazz game? Is the best team in basketball comes the Bulls' way?
Well, certainly, you know, still one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best as far as record. But they've had some struggles recently. You know, they dropped a couple heading into the All-Star break. They've also looked like a team that struggled a bit coming out of the All-Star break. And I believe I saw an update earlier today that Gobert is unlikely to go for them. He's dealing with some nagging injury. So for a Bulls team that we've certainly talked about ad nauseum recently, being bullied in the paint constantly, no matter the opponent, if you take Rudy Gobert out of the equation, it might help a little bit.
I was just going to ask you, how many rebounds is Rudy Gobert getting? 25 tonight? 27? They're not even going to need him either. That's the sad thing, is like their guards are going to be able to grab 6 to 8 rebounds apiece. That's what makes me so angry, is like even when their best rebounders are out, the Bulls still find a way to let guards just eat up rebounds, 6, 8, 10 on nights. It's crash the board like they did yesterday and they'll have no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jazz are a lot less intimidating of an opponent if Gobert's not there. But I mean, still a very talented team with quality pieces all around. And you know, will the Bulls be able to slow down Donovan Mitchell? We'll see. But you know, it's another opportunity for the Bulls to play evenly and maybe beat a good team for once. The Bulls really haven't had any of those all season long. And that's why I am very eager to get to the deadline to see what happens, and then we can react from there and what happens in the back half of this season. I think the Bulls are currently in 10th as of today. So still very much in the playoff hunt in the Eastern Conference, but man, and you know, I was talking about this with Big Dave and John a little bit on Hot Mic last night. I just, especially after taking a little mini break from this team and coming back and watching them, there's just flaws all around this roster. And I am more than okay at this point if Kobe, Wendell, and or Lowry get moved, you know, if not at, you know, before Thursday, then at the end of this season. Because, you know, we love Zach. We appreciate Zach. Find another all-star caliber player to play with him as P-Dub develops. Everything other than that, I am so emotionally unattached to right now.
I think I'm kind of with you, man. I'll throw Thaddeus Young in that camp too, is just saying like he's somebody else, like you don't trade at least this year. If you're gonna deal him, wait till the summer when we figure some stuff out, like still figuring out what a path is, what path this team's on right now. He's probably, dude, he's so damn good. He's the reason why the Bulls even had a shot to win that Denver game the other night. He's the reason why they played so well against Detroit. Dude, he's... Stacey King makes the joke, but there's literally five Thaddeus Youngs out there at a time. It's incredible. He's played incredible this year for this team. So I'm with you, though.
He's a great player, man.
I'm just kind of wishy-washy on the whole roster. Like, outside of Zach and P. Will, I feel sort of the same. It's like, I'm not going to be super mad if they deal any one of those guys leading up to Thursday.
No, not at all. And for me, like, I won't be mad if they trade Thad either. We heard again from Zach Lowe yesterday, I believe, that Thad is still a very sought-after piece by a lot of teams around the league, that the Bulls could probably get a first-round pick for Thaddeus Young, but that right now that might not be enough in the eyes of AK and Eversley. We'll see. Maybe they're just trying to quietly, you know, create a little bit of a bidding war for Thad. I've been back and forth on it. And I know, I think I said on this podcast maybe a couple weeks ago that because of the way Thad was playing, because of the way that Zach plays with Thad so efficiently, I was coming around to the idea of keeping him to see if this team can make a playoff run. I felt that way for maybe a week, maybe 10 days. And now I am very much back on the mindset of, if you can get a good haul for Thad Young, you take it. Yes, he's a great veteran and a great, you know, teammate in the locker room, in addition to being a brilliant guy on the floor. But I think you just have to zoom out and look big picture. If Thad Young is that important to your team, then it tells you just how much work you have to do when it comes to constructing this roster.
We can answer this in a second. Let me just stew on this for a second. Would you be all right giving up Thaddeus Young for a big haul if that means that Zach LaVine's 100% not coming back here? That's the last decision. Like, if he says, if you deal Thaddeus Young, I'm not coming back here, I'm going to play somewhere else, I'm going to demand a trade out of here, there's no commitment to winning, and doing that would be a sign of that you guys aren't ready to win yet, and I'm in a different spot. Would that deter you at all from wanting to trade Thaddeus Young? Maybe we can answer that in a couple of minutes.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by Theragun. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me, who is not an elite athlete, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power. And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out and injury or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design make you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site and check it out. And the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Jordan, one of my roommates actually grabbed a Theragun several months ago, and I have been using it a lot. I started working out again recently. I've been getting muscle aches and soreness just from working out, and it has helped tremendously. It's like having a masseuse that just lives in your home whenever you're sore. And it's a robot, so that's cool. Theragun's trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. So try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $190. Go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon.
Your boy had a really good betting weekend, Matt. I know you were in Vegas, and while everybody's attention and focus and money was on the NCAA tournament, my money and focus was on the NBA this weekend. And Matt, I'll tell you this right now. The first parlay that I won cashed over $600 on a $5 bet. I didn't even realize I won the bet until about 2:30 the next day. I didn't check my FanDuel account. I didn't check my BetOnline account. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I probably lost these parlays, fell asleep, went back to check my accounts, and boom, $650 richer. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. So shout out to a Illinois local in Robert Covington. He was the one that sealed the deal on that bet. And then I came back the next night, man, and hit on another one that cashed out $500 at over 100-1. You can do all of that at betonline.ag. You want to bet on the Bulls tonight against the Jazz? Maybe you want to take some of those player props, maybe some P-Will assists, some P-Will threes. Maybe you want to go with Thaddeus Young rebounds and assists. He's been insane over the last couple of weeks. You can do all of that at betonline.ag. Sign up for a free account today or head to their website or use your mobile device and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets and it's free to sign up. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON when signing up for your account and you'll receive that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, before we just hit our ads, you were starting to chuckle at me about the Zach LaVine and Thaddeus Young, but seriously though, like, okay, maybe he doesn't take it to that extreme, but what if it's a big part in his decision making over the next 18 months on whether or not to stay with this team long term? I honestly, this is just a personal opinion. Honestly, I don't think he cares. I don't think he gives a shit about the money. The money's nice. He's gonna get paid anywhere he goes, but I don't think he gives a shit about that anymore. Like, if you really think that AK and Mark Eversley, if Zach said, this is going to make me super unhappy, would still trade Thaddeus Young if they got a massive haul?
I mean,
just from your feeling.
Like, no, I don't think it would be that important. I know that we have learned from what we've seen in their interactions on and off the court that Zach and Thad have a special bond, and they are not just teammates, they are what appear to be good friends, and even sort of a mentor-mentee kind of relationship from an NBA vet and his younger teammate, who, you know, going back to Zach's rookie year in Minnesota. If AK and Eversley, who by all accounts have already done leaps and bounds a better job of making this a players first organization and communicating with these players and making them feel heard way more so than the previous VP, GM, and coach, can eloquently describe to Zach what their vision is. And even if that vision does not include his favorite aging pal, Thad Young, but a quality vision of surrounding him with the right pieces so that Zach can do what he wants to do more than anything. And I agree with you, more than making big paychecks, more than, you know, having a specific teammate, the dude wants to win. And we have seen, at least this season, how important Thad Young is to the Bulls winning. But that might not necessarily be the case long term. So if keeping Zach long term is about making him happy, what would make Zach LaVine happy is to win. So if AK and Eversley have a vision and can execute it, and they tell Zach, hey, man, here's our vision for this roster. We're going to build around you. We're going to get you the right pieces. We're going to get you these pieces. In order to do so, we need to strike while the iron is hot on Thad Young. And if they laid it out to Zach that way, Zach is a pretty smart dude. I think he could figure that out and be okay with it.
What I'm trying to figure out is, what are you getting back in return for Thaddeus Young that's going to still appease Zach? It is getting a first-round pick in the 20s. Is that better than having two more years of Thaddeus Young here and possibly keeping Zach happy and keeping this team on a path of trying to win, trying to learn how to win, trying to develop and teach these guys, as opposed to maybe taking a step back and hoping that that guy that you draft in the mid-20s, he ends up panning out in 3 or 4 years? Like, we've seen that playbook, and I get it, it's a different front office, but we've seen that playbook so many times over the last 5, 6, 7 years, and honestly, it hasn't worked out. Niko Mirotić, I'm so glad we got a first-round pick for him, but look at what that turned into. I mean, a dude that has hardly played for this
team. What are you talking about? Hutch is coming back any day now, Joe.
Oh, God. but you understand what I'm saying. Like, this is...
Oh, totally. Totally.
This, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I think it's just to get teams to say, hey, here is legitimately what we think that is worth. Keep that in mind, and maybe the Bulls are just doing that just to take a kind of a survey of their team and seeing what other teams think about them around the league, because I still think the mindset and the things that they learn about this core of this team can be applied again in the summer, man. We're not that far off from being in an offseason where the Bulls are going to have a ton of decisions to make again. So that's my case. Unless you're upgrading and getting like a legitimate number two to pair next to Zach, and Thad's got to be a part of that deal, I just don't see any reason to trade him this year.
I totally see that line of thinking as well. And I was just yelling during the Pistons and after the Pistons game last night about how these one and done lottery picks that take forever to develop. The Bulls have a handful of them and we're all sitting around waiting for them to develop. And none of them have really, we're obviously all very excited about P. Dub. And I think that he is going to far surpass his development in his first few years than the likes of any of Lowry, Wendell or Kobe. But in general, I think you're right in that if Thad, even as an aging veteran, is getting you a lot closer to victories than any of these one and done pieces that come in and aren't NBA ready, if you're trying to win, then keeping him makes more sense. And I see the logic to that. And if it's just like, oh, okay, cool, the Bulls get, you know, the 27th pick for Thad, I would be underwhelmed by that. My hope is that AK and Eversley are far more creative and far more capable in executing trades and signing free agents than the former executives of this organization ever were. So it's not necessarily about, okay, you're trading away a quality vet who's helping your team in every facet of the games this season, and all you're getting is a late 20s pick that you hope pans out and probably won't, because that is obviously not a very enticing path to go down. But what if the Bulls could get a young center for Thad so that we don't have to take turns watching Thad and Wendell play undersized center all season for the rest of the season?
What if the Bulls are ready
to move on from Lauri Markkanen and want to actually give Wendell an opportunity to play real minutes at the four? What if finding yourself a young center in a trade for Thad is something that can help set you up better for the future? In a scenario like that, I would not be opposed to trading Thad.
Is there somebody you're thinking of, like, that you have just top of mind, like young center that you would be willing to package, like somebody that you would really love to have on this Bulls team?
I mean, like, obviously, somebody brought up a mailbag, Jared Allen, a couple weeks ago. Again, probably of not a very strong likelihood that Cleveland would let him go. Justin Patton is another name that's been tossed around there. There are lots of teams looking to add a piece for a playoff run that might see a depth piece of their front court who's young and hasn't really fit into their rotation as expendable. If it gets them, you know, the scoring punch guard they need off the bench, if it shores up their wing position in a way that they need for their playoff run. I'm just saying, as a hypothetical, that is one situation and position of need where if AK and Eversley address a need on this roster in a way that looks very promising, and it costs you Thad Young this season, and oh gee shucks, instead of losing a two game mini series play in as the 9th or 10th seed, we don't do that and just end our season and go to the lottery. Guess what? I'm cool with that. I am more than cool with that.
The guy you're talking yourself into is like Chris Boucher. Which is funny because I just talked with the Raptors guy a couple weeks ago, and like the guy you're describing is him. He's not as young as like a Jared Allen or maybe somebody of that caliber over the last couple of years. He's 27, but he meets the timeline of the same mold of guys that you would continue to build here. And he's just, I don't know, it doesn't move the needle for me enough to be like, ruin what you've got right now and what you're developing here just to maybe take a flyer on a guy like that. I still think, like, with all the cap space, don't forget all the cap space the Bulls are going to have this offseason too, especially if they decide not to pay Lowry. There's some things to work. I just say, like, I don't want a decision to be made now that we end up regretting 6 months from now, you know, when we start the season and go, damn, I really wish at the trade deadline they didn't trade him for a pick or a couple of picks. He would be a great piece to this team. And that doesn't just go for Thad. It goes for a lot of these guys. The one thing I can say, Matt, with confidence is I trust AK and Mark Eversley until they give us a reason to not trust them. So far, every decision that they've made has been one that has worked out amazing in this first year. So I'm going to put my full trust in them until they give us a reason not to.
Yeah. And I mean, just, you know, Thad is just one part of the equation, but to me, it's just so much simpler than that, in that this team is currently constructed is still only beating bottom feeders and, you know, occasionally a mediocre team, and they're losing to the good teams. There is nothing about this roster that says you can't touch what you have in place because it's all already set and working great. No, It's not. I mean, the Bulls struggled through the first three quarters before putting away a laughably bad Pistons team. What about that says do not touch at the trade deadline? So to me, it's not just about Thad specifically. It's about the fact that this team has so much work to do. This front office has so much work to do putting this roster into a position of real competitiveness in the NBA. So if you see something at the trade deadline, if you have an offer in front of you at the trade deadline that in your eyes as AK and Eversley set you up better for next season and beyond, who gives a fuck about a 9-10 play in this season? Because that's all you're getting, if that.
See, I could say the same thing is like, who gives a shit of being two spots lower in the draft, right? I mean, we could flip it on its head and say, hey, you might not be the 9 or the 10. Okay, you end up the 12th or the 13th team in the Eastern Conference. What does that make you? Like what, two or three spots lower than where you would have without gaining any of that playoff experience? And even just to be able to say pitch in free agency to whoever, saying, hey, yeah, we took a step forward. We made the playoffs for the first time in what, 4 years?
There would be such gigantic air quotes around that if they were a 9 or 10.
I agree. Yeah,
We made the playoffs.
I agree, but you have to realize that that's part of the pitch. Like that's part of this. I totally agree with what you're saying. And most players would too. Again, it's just, it's another reason to be able to pitch somebody more confidently that you're taking the step in the right direction. And it's also reassuring your players on this team that you're taking the right step forward. And most importantly, it's about Zach. It's about, if you truly want to keep him here long-term, you got to keep him happy. Because it's not about the money anymore. It's not about the money anymore. So you got to find other ways to keep him happy here. Otherwise, dude, I'll be honest with you, in 2022 summer, he's walking to the Lakers. He's going to be a Laker. If he hits free agency, he's going to be a Laker. I can promise you that. I can promise you that.
Man. Zach and AD paired together.
I would hate it.
Lakers, I would hate LeBron it. LeBron retires would be devastating as a Bulls fan.
It would make me so angry that LeBron's final year would be Zach's first year with the Lakers. LeBron gets one more chip. Zach helps him do that and also gets the hometown kid another ring on that team. How angry would you be? I would be furious. Don't let that happen. Please don't let that happen.
I hear you, man.
Let's talk former Laker in a sec. Go ahead.
We could wrap up the back end of that conversation in a minute. First, wanted to tell our listeners about Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Just sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem there. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our Locked On Bulls listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Locked On at checkout. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Shout out to our friends also at Built Bar. Built Bar has been hooking us up all month long with their Built Bar Madness bracket, pairing up against some of the best flavors, against some of their newest flavors, to see which bar is voted on as the best tasting Built Bar. Built Bar, again, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. It's amazingly low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and has an amazing taste. Is a protein bar covered in 100% chocolate, tastes just like a candy bar. Been telling you guys about these for months. Built Bar just hooked us up with a churro marshmallow puff, which is amazing. And they just hooked us up with a white chocolate sprinkled birthday cake Built Bar. I know that doesn't sound like something that should be halfway decent for you, but it is. It's got 17 grams of protein, only 180 calories, and only 3 grams of net carbs. So go to BuiltBar.com right now to get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Check out them on social at BuiltBar.com or on Twitter at Bar_Built if you want to check out their Built Bar Madness bracket and see which flavor comes out on top. All right, finally.
That birthday cake flavor is going up against coconut. That's the matchup today, Jordan.
Oh, we know which one's winning. We already know. You and I can agree on this 100%, man. I'm not a big coconut fan.
Dude, me neither. Never been a coconut guy. When I would get Mounds or Almond Joys on Halloween trick-or-treating as a kid, I would be like, man, get this crap out of here.
I was the same way, so I feel you. Quickly, let's just kind of clean up some of the rumors from the weekend as we kind of set the stage for this week in the NBA trade deadline. First rumor, quickly, we're hearing that a lot of teams are calling the Bulls on Patrick Williams. No surprise. I'm sure it's a lot of teams that are willing to sell. Calling on Patrick Williams, it pretty much seems like AK's just kind of laughing and said, told you so, and hangs up the phone. Patrick Williams is like him and Zach LaVine, like we've been talking about, absolutely off limits. But it is funny to hear that teams are still calling.
Yeah, man, it's not at all surprising, especially with the way that P-Dub has had some really strong games recently out of the All-Star break. You know, he had a career high 23 the other night. He's had some really impressive moments, just like in the game against Detroit, some aggressive takes to the basket. He's slamming dunks home. He's driving. And as always, since day one, taking and knocking down confidently. Good three-point shots with that beautiful high-arcing three ball of his. He is a star in the making. I truly believe that. The kid's size, his athleticism, his length, his ridiculously huge hands, and he clearly already has some good smarts on his shoulders. Like, you see him make the occasional typical rookie mistake as far as off-ball defense and coverages and switches and things like that. You know, like in one of Stacy's replays last night, he called out P-Dub for not helping from the weak side. You expect that from a 19-year-old rookie, but everything about his makeup screams he is going to be a stud, and much sooner than later. Like, I maybe it's just being a prisoner of the moment, and maybe it's not, but I feel way more confident about this kid turning into a star than I ever did about Kobe, Wendell, or even my guy Lowry. And I am, you know, as we speak, I am paddling in a canoe off of Lowry Markkanen Island. And my love for P-Dub is a big reason why.
I'm still hanging out on Lowry Markkanen Island. I still think he's a great shooter, man.
I love it.
Second, until somebody else steps up and shows me they can consistently knock down a three or knock down a shot themselves, just put some points up. I mean, he's the guy, unless they're going to deal him. I'm okay. I'm okay if the Bulls find a deal for him. He finds a different spot and then ends up getting paid this summer. I have no problem with that. It's just a matter of what do you get back. The guy we keep talking about in a deal for Lowry is somebody again rumored this week, Alonzo Ball. Apparently, there's one report at least out there that the Bulls have made an offer of some sort for Alonzo Ball. This tells me, Matt, that it's going to be Markkanen, and maybe even if they need to get it to a point where, because Lonzo's played really good over the last month. Same thing with Zion Williamson. Like, those two together have played really well. If you need to get it over the top, maybe you add Kobe White in there. But then I start to like look at the roster. I'm like, what else do they have that would be beneficial for this Bulls team right now? Do you feel like it's a realistic possibility that the Bulls deal for Lonzo before the deadline?
Yes, I think it's possible. I think that AK and Eversley, if they find an offer that they can make that the Pelicans think is fair, that they will make it. You know, we've heard from lots of different avenues that the Bulls have interest in Lonzo. I think we've heard enough of it, and we've heard it frequently enough that it's not just, you know, it's not just smoke, because it's coming from so many different directions. And the Bulls' need for a point guard is glaring. I think it makes sense. obviously the first low ball offer, if it's true what was reported of Sato and a couple of second round picks, especially if there's a bidding war with not only Atlanta, but we're also now hearing that the Knicks are interested in Lonzo Ball. If the Bulls get into a bidding war, I don't want them to overpay for Lonzo because I'm not that in love with him. But if they can get Lonzo for swapping one of those three players, Lowry, Wendell, or Kobe, and maybe a conditional pick thrown in there or a second round pick thrown in there, I say go for it. Because at this point, man, what have any of those three guys proven to you that says they are a building block long term?
I hear you, man. I'm with you. And I'm with you, too, on not overspending. Because I say that as somebody who's been a staunch believer that the Bulls would be better off acquiring Lonzo Ball. Like, if that's something that you would willingly want this team to do, the Bulls have the option to wait. Wait till he goes to the restricted free agency. And then I would be willing to let the Bulls overpay him in free agency to sign him long-term, as opposed to having to overpay right now at the trade deadline and give up a couple of assets you may want down the road, or a player you give up on and panic because you packaged a trade together and in 2 or 3 years, they're halfway decent. Like, I would rather the Bulls be overpaying in their salary cap because they're going to have an abundance this summer and not that many guys out there that I'm too thrilled with at adding. That would be an avenue I could see. And hey, worst case scenario, he goes back to the team that he's with, either the Pelicans, wherever he gets dealt before the deadline. But I still do believe you, too. I think that there's real possibility that the Bulls could deal for him. Outside of that, there's been some other names been thrown out there, like a possible flip for Obi Toppin and Lauri Markkanen. I don't really see that happening. And also some mild interest in Spencer Dinwiddie. That could be one where if the Nets want to shore some stuff up, maybe the Bulls look there for like a Satoransky, because they need a backup point guard. So maybe Satoransky interests the Nets.
Possibly. I mean, you and I have both talked on this podcast about our collective and mutual love for Spencer Dinwiddie. And he's basically like the last real trade ship that Brooklyn has if they want to make yet another move to make their roster as title contention worthy as possible, gearing up for a playoff run. Just adding another piece in Blake Griffin, who was set free by the Pistons last week. So if the Bulls can find a way to get Dinwiddie in a trade, that they can have whoever they want whose names are not Zach LaVine and Patrick Williams.
He's one guy that I don't think is going to cost you damn near as much as it might cost you for Lonzo. Just because I don't know if he's even on track to come back this season. So he'd be a guy you would be thinking about for next year. And that's fine.
Right.
That's fine. I'm cool with that.
Although,
though,
I mean, Jordan, so assuming that Dinwiddie comes back and is the Dinwiddie that we saw in Brooklyn, who was like borderline like all-star caliber player, who would you rather have? Who do you think is a better player / better fit for the Bulls right now? Dinwiddie or Lonzo, assuming both are healthy? Because I might lean Dinwiddie.
Yeah, that's tough. I think if we're getting the same Spencer Dinwiddie that he was before his injury, then I think I'm leaning Dinwiddie. I think next to Zach, you keep Thad. You have Patrick Williams. I think he's probably the better fit short term. Long term, I think Lonzo's probably the better fit. But also, too, I kind of want the Bitcoin Bulls here for a little while. Yeah, Garrett Temple's part of the Bitcoin Bulls, by the way. So you got Spencer Dinwiddie and you got Garrett Temple. Massive Bitcoin guys. So we could be the Bitcoin Bulls for a little bit. But I'm with you. I think Dinwiddie better than Lonzo short term.
Yeah. And like you were saying, as far as what it would cost to get either one, it would be interesting to me if, maybe just because he's a little bit younger, that Lonzo would be more expensive in a trade. But you also have to re-sign Lonzo to a new deal. So if you could somehow get Dinwiddie for cheaper than what it would cost you to get Lonzo, I mean, to me, that makes it an even simpler decision. If I'm AK and Eversley and I'm looking at those two players in particular.
I have to go back. I just looked at this the other day, but I'm pretty sure Dinwiddie's contract is up at the same year that Zach's is up, as Sato's is up, as Thaddeus Young's is up. So it's in line with this short-term play of, hey, let's see what we have, and we still keep things sort of flexible short-term. So that one does make sense, man. I mean, I could see that. And if they're willing to sell low, like the Nets are desperate, they're like, yeah, Sato and maybe like Chandler Hutchison. Those are two guys that we could actually use coming off the bench as opposed to like Tyler Johnson and whoever the hell they else have playing minutes for them right now. That makes some sense. I would keep my eyes on that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We'll see if we, I haven't seen any new rumors like since we've hopped on and started recording, like nothing new that's come across my Twitter timeline over the last hour or so, but I'm anticipating that there's going to be a increasing amount of rumors all across the league and that the Bulls will be involved in a handful of them over the next 48 hours or so.
That's for sure, man. Hit us up with your trade hypotheticals if you've got a question. You've got a trade hypothetical that we didn't talk about so far. Continue to keep your eyes glued to not only NBA Twitter, but all your breaking news places just in case something happens. And if something breaks between now and tomorrow, we have plenty to talk about this week, though. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails. Anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.